The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized them and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Grant us wisdom and courage, loving God, for the living of these days. Above all, give us your rest, so that in resting, we may enter into the joy of trusting you in all things, for all things in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Not sure if you caught it, but there's an urgency around the gospel and the lessons today. There's this sense of urgency that sort of flows underneath the narrative, especially when we get to the gospel lesson. There's an urgency for rest. And also in Psalm 23, if you recall, Psalm 23, we typically read the psalm, memorial services or special occasions. And there's a sense in which what the goal of Psalm 23 is to provide us some sense of peace and calm, assurance, reassurance. But there's also this level of urgency behind Psalm 23. To rest, to trust, to be led, to be guided by the shepherd, to be cared for. There's an urgency around that. If you recall, I think it was during the Easter season, in Psalm 23 on Good Shepherd Sunday, we read Psalm 23, and I shared with you scholarly work of Robert Alter, who has written quite a bit on the Psalms. And Robert Alter, who is a Jewish scholar, writes that Psalm 23 could be read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I can stop wanting. I can stop wanting. I can enter into a space of satisfaction, of contentment, because the Lord is my shepherd." There's, again, a call from the scriptures as we come to this juncture in the liturgical calendar. We are stepping away from Mark, coming back to Mark at the beginning of September. So that we're at the end of the Markan arc of scripture. And Mark places before us these stories of the disciples who had gone out, if you recall, to go preach and to heal, to teach, to go into homes and to be guests. That the nature of an apostle to be sent out by Jesus is to be guest. So they've come back now. They're back, and they're telling Jesus everything that they've done and what they taught. And Jesus, ever the good shepherd, sees that they need rest. They need rest. Jesus gathered his disciples. He told them, and they told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." rest a while. Now, both Psalm 23 and also this particular call from Jesus to rest in the Jewish scriptures is known as part of what it means to practice wisdom. Because wisdom leads to wellness. To practice wisdom leads to wellness. And wellness in biblical terms means that one is aligned with God's purposes, that one is living and desiring that which God seeks and desires for us. There is an alignment. We're connected with God. And that connection brings about wholeness, wellness. And so for Jesus to tell his disciples, it's time to rest. You're even neglecting your sense of feeding yourself. And there's this word, leisure, there. They had no time for leisure. And leisure, in at least the way I grew up, is not a possibility for most Americans. What? Leisure is associated with laziness. Leisure. But in the ancient Greco-Roman world, leisure was a necessity in order to function well, in order to function truthfully in society, in order to be aware not only of your own limitations, but also the needs of others. Leisure was not sitting around. Leisure meant going inward and reflecting on your life, your place. What is the meaning of life? What is around me? What is the good? I mean, if you've ever read the writings of Plato, Aristotle, some of the philosophy, Western philosophy, you'll get the sense in which leisure is not about sitting around thinking, you know, is it time for the half-yearly sale at Nordstrom? I should go there. And you know, it's not about what we want, it's about what we long for, truly. Leisure opens up a space for us to sit with our hearts. And so, when was the last time you sat with your heart to rest? I get that we're busy, but I also get that I serve a community largely retired, but you all are the busiest retired communities. It's amazing. Why? Because I think there's a sense about life and about vibrancy, about being connected. Being retired does not mean thrown in the towel. It actually means living life deeper. And that's what leisure does. In the scriptures, Jesus invites his disciples, rest a while, spend time, feed your body, care for yourself. A lot of Christians had a problem with this throughout the history of the biblical interpretation. What is Jesus calling the disciples to do? Why would Jesus say that? No, we're called to live this life of just sort of almost anxiety over our sinfulness, anxiety over any sort of pleasure we may enjoy, anxiety over the goodness that we've accumulated throughout life. Jesus is basically saying, yeah, do that, but dig deeper. Go deeper, rest. Now, this is in the midst of very busy ministry. Right? People were coming and going to Jesus. They needed to connect with Jesus. They needed healing. The disciples just came back again, and they find themselves with Jesus in this plan for rest. They go on a retreat. People follow them because there's also great urgency around us. There's a great urgent need for us to be restful people. But also there's a great urgency around us. That's why the Christian spiritual tradition insists that the more we rest in God, the more we are readied to serve in the name of God through our prayer, through our presence. Through our resting, we are able to serve in a way that's clear. So we give ourselves As a result of our resting, of our going inward, and of our going in to see the corridors of our hearts, of searching out those places where anxiety lives, of searching out those places where desires take us and exhaust us, of searching for the rest of God in our hearts, that prepares us in order to serve in a way that can make an impact. In our circles, where we are, it doesn't mean we go out and be global, seek to make a global impact. It means we make an impact around us. The person who sits across us at dinner time. We're going deeper and setting in with our hearts may mean resting finally and saying, you know what? I don't think we need to do that anymore. I think we're okay just the way we are. Or you know what? We're going to get through this. I know. We're anxious, but God is going to give us the strength to get through this. Or going deeper allows us to sit across our family, sons, daughters, grandkids, and say, this is what trusting in God looks like. It's believing against hope. It's hoping against hope. It's about trusting and believing that God is faithful. You get to that deep well, and you become a source of water and food for those who are hungering around us. But it takes that sense of resting in God, of following the Good Shepherd. The people still come, though. There's an urgency out there. And Jesus meets that urgency. People follow the disciples and Jesus, but they're interested in Jesus. They're touching Jesus. They're not touching Peter, Paul, James. They're touching Jesus. Because Jesus knows, even in the midst of this, I'm going to give my disciples a break. And so people keep coming, and people are restored and healed because Jesus has compassion. Because Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And Jesus sees the urgencies around us, and Jesus sees our own urgencies. It's about entering into that rest. And so, again, what's keeping you up at night? Please don't answer. But seriously, what keeps you from settling into your heart and breathing and taking deep breaths and saying, okay, God, all right, it looks like a mountain, but with you, I can do all things. Okay, God, what's around me looks like it's falling apart, but with you, you can hold me together, for you are the Good Shepherd, and I will hold those around me together. What is it that keeps you from resting? For most of us in this country, it is past mistakes that never let us rest. Is it just me that suffers from that? But it is. It's mistakes. It's shoulda, coulda, right? But also fear and worry about the future. How can we do something about something that has not come about, but we spend an inordinate amount of time obsessing over something that hasn't come about, that is there quite possibly or not? Resting in God is focusing in this moment and saying to God, right here, right now, this is all I have. Lord, open my heart, open my eyes, help me understand how I can rest in you because I need it right now. To keep being partner to someone going through struggle, to keep hoping when it looks like the clouds and the rain are coming, to keep believing that above the storm, there you are, the sun that never stops. Rest. I think that's the message for today, is to rest. To go home and sit a minute and say, help me, God, walk through my heart and find those places that don't allow me to rest. And the more you name them or even write them out and get them out of you, the more you can pray for them and ask this God who invites us to rest, to trust him that, yes, there are urgencies around, and Jesus has got this. But also Jesus needs us to rest, because the journey is still in front of us. Herman Melville, in his book, in his novel Moby Dick, if you've read it, a wonderful book, you know about Captain Ahab going after, right, the white whale, Moby Dick, bit his leg off. And there's a scene in which they're chasing Moby Dick down, right? And the storm and the sails and sailors are running everywhere, and it's just chaos on that boat, on that ship. But there's one person who does not move. That's the harpooner. Harpooner has one job, and that is to be ready, to be focused. The harpooner doesn't run to the captain's galley to take over. The harpooner does not run over and start swabbing the deck or battening down the hatches or ensuring the sail. No, the harpooner stays there in the midst of the storm, because the harpooner knows that this moment requires stillness in the midst of storm. This moment requires focus. This moment requires stepping back into what they call your training, what you were shaped and formed to be. I think that is a wonderful metaphor for resting and recognizing that as believers in Jesus, we're called to rest in order to be ready. And you'll know when the moment arrives. Some of you are in the middle of that moment right now. Some of you know people who you encounter that are in the midst or on the cusp of entering a very difficult time in their lives. Rest. So when the storm hits, you can be the one who stands there and says, in the name of Jesus, I will focus and rest to be ready. Be wise to be well. Be present to reveal the power and presence of Jesus. There was a song in the 70s. It was a worship song, "People Need the Lord." How many of you have heard that? Some of you. "People need the Lord. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Oh, but Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord." We need the Lord too. We live in a world similar to the one that Jesus confronted and found, where people were trying to reach out. We ready when we rest, when we trust, when we are led by the Good Shepherd, and we can be light and grace to many who are lost like sheep without a shepherd. So people of God, go home and sit with your heart and ask yourself, what is keeping me from rest? And then pray to the Lord of rest to grant you his rest and peace. Amen.